Strategic Vision Radio Show with your host, Lonnie Clark, where we learn to accept living in a world transformed by Fukushima. Monday, Wednesday, and Friday from 8 a.m. to 9 a.m. Pacific Standard Time here on UCY.TV, we relentlessly engage every ear that listens. We share information about the facts of radiation and the nuclear industry. We discuss vital current events and explore the roots of social engineering that has caused so many of our beloved friends and family to intentionally ignore the most critical, catastrophic event in human history. We interview activists who do the hard work to discover the truth and get the word out. We disclose the NRC's daily nuclear alerts and take phone calls from our listeners in an effort to fully engage on all topics that are changing our world. We explore exactly how radiation affects our bodies and minds to dissipate your fears and face the truth. We remind our listeners that happiness is resistance. Love is greater than fear. We share information on how to take your life back from the systems intent on enslaving our bodies, minds, and souls. The Age of Vision Radio Show will create a venue that all will choose in order to actively engage to save our planet from the ravages of greed and indifference. Good morning, UCY Radio listeners. This is Lonnie Clark with the Age of Vision Radio. Today is Friday, August 28th. I can't believe it's been almost a full month since I've been on the radio here. Thank you for joining me. Today is Call-In Friday, which is an interesting day because I never know if anybody's going to call in. So I'm somewhat prepared to talk about some issues that I have. The phone number to call in is 718-717-8296. That is 718-717-8296. One of the things I did want to share with you this morning is the fact that the Nuclear Regulatory Commission has extended its public comment time on the proposed linear no-threshold model and standards for protection against radiation. You know how they're trying to make it so that hormesis is the new idea. At least the licensees want that, so that they don't have to actually keep track of the radiation. The changing to the hormesis will change the way they measure radiation altogether, and they'll start saying that radiation is good for us. So the comment period for the document published on June 23rd at 80 FR 35870 is extended. Comments should be filed no later than November 19th, 2015. So you can log in to www.nrc.gov, and they have a little link where it talks about public comments. You do the drop down and you go into, this is the docket number, NRC-215-0057, and then the notice for extending it is -0086. So you can actually go online and put your comments in that we, even as bad as we know the radiation is going to be, that we believe that our government and the agencies that are charged with protecting the public actually really continue to protect the public. Just because we have a situation that is out of hand and they have no idea how to really manage it does not mean that our government ought not to at least address the reality of what it's all about. You know, one of the things I talked about early in this radio show is that I read poetry a lot, and I actually pick up books and read them. But I do go through poetry. I'd love to read this book, The Way of Life by Lao Tzu. I found a poem that actually kind of talks about where we're at. I know many of us are coming into the idea that September, I don't know about you, but I get this ominous feeling. The elites kind of like to do things in September. They have a penchant for numbers. If you notice, a lot of the so-called, quote, events happen on 9/11 or just different dates. They have just different dates that they use. So, but I found this poem was really interesting. By Lao Tzu, it's number 43. As the soft yield of water cleaves obstinate stone, so to yield with life solves the insoluble. To yield, I have learned, is to come back again. But this unworded lesson, this easy example, is lost upon men. That really sent chills down my spine when I read it. It was written, what do they say, about 600 years before Christ. So, you know, humanity has been grappling with the same thing for many, many, many years. Many decades and centuries, actually. And it's about the powers that be deciding that they're going to have their way with complete disregard to the rest of humanity. Only I think this is the first time in our history of humanity where we are mass, wide-scale science experiments. We are their little lab rats, and they are unrepentant about it. It is actually really a stunning set of affairs. Let me give you that number again to call in case I can encourage anyone to call in. 718-717-8296. It's Call In Friday. I would really like to have your dialogue about any of the things I've discussed on the radio or anything that you see in the news that you think is important. One of the things that's happened to me in this last little bit, the last few weeks, is I have made more of an effort to listen to almost all of the radio programs on UCY Radio. The reason I wanted to see really what other ideas were out there, I had been listening to Geoengineering, to Jules' show, First Cup in the Morning, but, you know, this radio show really provides a venue for people with a variety of interests in protecting humanity, and that is seeming to be the running theme of every single show. Every single host that's on this radio show is really ultimately concerned about helping humanity survive. And I think that is exactly where we're all at. Like, we are at a very critical time on the planet. I don't know how you feel about this, but, you know, this, I always check the Hill. I go to the Hill and look for news stories because the Hill is what runs. They report the establishment point of view from Washington, D.C., and it's thehill.com. And you can go on there and find out. I like to look under the policy section under energy and energy and environment, which is kind of ironic that they understand that the energy department is actually destroying the environment, so they're sort of lumped up together, you know. If they, on an unconscious level, did not recognize that the energy industry is not destroying the environment, the two would not be connected. They don't have health care in the environment. They have health care. They have don't have finance. They have a technology section, a transportation section. But I like to go to the energy department to find out what our government is doing about Fukushima, if anything at all. And they are still doing 100% the very same level of denial. Mysterious whale Vesper NOAA probe. NOAA is actually going to probe the mysterious death. So one of the things I kind of want to do, and I'm wondering if I can actually find this out, is find out how much money we're going to spend on these fake investigations. Hold on, I think I hear a truck. I'm gonna shut the noise out. So one of the things that I really, you know, there were, what, 11 fin whales, 14 humpback whales, one gray whale, and four unidentified cetaceans have been found stranded around the islands of the western Gulf of Alaska. Most of us know about this, but, you know, it really does bring it home when our government spends money to just deny the obvious. Fukushima is out of control. That brings me to the other little news story that I was reading. It's ironic because in America, they're just now denying the mysterious deaths of the whales. We haven't even gotten to the people who are going to start dying because we haven't had those catastrophic numbers like they have in Japan where the children are all getting cancer now. And they're denying it. the nuclear industry really does deny that radiation causes harm. That's the incredulous part. And it is a kind of a stunning set of affairs that it, Jules was saying this on her radio show this morning. If anybody actually brings up the idea that the vaccines are killing people, that these the GMOs are killing people, that radiation is killing people, we're considered lunatics and extreme and far left. You know, we're, I don't know far left, but we're considered suspect because we actually are willing to talk about the truth. So this speaks to a really deep level, a really deep-seated level of anxiety in our country about really how we stand up for ourselves. You know, Naomi Klein wrote the book, The Shark Doctrine. And it's, I don't know if you've read it, but it's quite a long book. And it really goes into how the system works to shock people into silence and allows us to get into a place where we can just continue to ignore this. One of the things that I have been doing, and I think I talked to you about this before, was the fact that, you know, the Columbia Generating Station is sitting there on the mouth of the Columbia River, 15 miles from Hanford. Since 2001, it's had a crack in one of its pipes, pretty big crack. They say it's not very big. They can only see, I think, 18 inches of it. But they haven't really done any type of a sonogram to see how deep it goes. I guess it's called a sonogram or a where they can test. They don't have to dig out the pipe. They can do some testing to see how deep the crack is. They have not done that. And why have they not done that? Because they don't want to find out how bad it is at the Columbia Generating Station. If people understood how these nuclear power plants make money, and this is the hard part for us to wrap our brains around, they have no responsibility, none, in terms of the cleanup or the mess or the mistakes that they made. In fact, when I was reading about San Onofre, because one of the things I'm doing is researching about how many people are laid off at San Onofre and how many are continuing to work. Because the job loss is specifically one of the things that the people who can make the decisions to close the Columbia Generating Station are very concerned about. So that's not an easy thing to find, as it turns out, because the subcontractors are private. So there is a little bit of research to be doing on that one. But one of the things I noticed, and you can go right to Wikipedia, I could not believe it, San Onofre in their... They actually put they put on in when they were building it, they actually put the thing on backwards. They actually put on pieces of the entire nuclear reactor on backwards. That was in the beginning, 1972, and nobody called a halt to it. The incompetence of putting something on backwards. Think about that. It's a big, gigantic nuclear power station, and they put on a big piece of it completely backwards. How long did it take for them to put it on backwards? They didn't even recognize it. The incompetence of the nuclear industry is off the charts, and we continue to stay silent on it, folks. This is why I'm on the radio, because I'm actually dumbfounded. I did not know. I was just like most Americans. I did not know. Now, this is something that's going on in Japan. This headline really hurt my feelings just to read it. And let me tell you what, folks, this is going to happen in the United States of America when the thyroid cancer epidemic hits the United States in 5 to 10 years. They're talking about the excess occurrence of pediatric thyroid cancer in Fukushima. The thyroid cancer, I beg your pardon, the Thyroid Examination Assessment Subcommittee of the Prefectural Oversight Committee meeting for Fukushima Health Management and Survey, that was the subtitle, admits excess occurrence of pediatric thyroid cancer. 112 children have been diagnosed with confirmed or suspicious pediatric thyroid cancer during the initial screening of the pediatric thyroid examination covering about 370,000 children aged 18 or younger, conducted since the Fukushima nuclear power plant accident. In the full-scale screening, or the second-round screening, 15 children were newly diagnosed similarly. So 15 to 18. You notice how they don't give us the results? Like they ink them out. That's 112 plus 15. I am very suspicious of these numbers because I don't believe that they're adequately testing the children in Fukushima at all. I have read stories, and we've seen them all on ENE News, where the children, where they basically are denying that children have had these thyroid nodes. They lie to the parents. The parents will be tested near the Fukushima prefecture, go down south and be tested by a different doctor. Don't tell them that they're from Fukushima, and they have shown present with thyroid nodes. So the entire medical industry, which is really run by the Japanese government in Japan, you can't really call them doctors. You can't call them scientists. These are people who are willing to lie for their jobs. Not only willing to lie, but they're willing to kill children. And that is really the insane and inhumane part of it all. But that is coming to America, folks. I mean, we have got a month of serious action going on, I think, in the next month. I mean, President Obama yesterday is asking for a war to be declared on ISIS after feeding them, you know, all of our ammunition and all of our money. We have actually built this organization, ISIS, up to the point where we can now fight them. Isn't that sweet of them? I mean, the insanity of what's going on in our country is completely crazy. Well, it is now 16 after, folks. Nobody has called me. I'm going to give you our phone number again. The phone number to call in is 718-717-8296. It's call in Friday. On Mondays, I usually do the nuclear alerts and read the nuclear news. On Wednesdays, we have an interview. And Fridays is an opportunity for those people that listen to this radio show to engage and talk to me about whether you agree or disagree with me, to share ideas. I find it very fascinating that there are a lot of people out there that are activists doing what they can in their own little tiny community. The issue is we have no venue to come together, and I view this radio show as a venue for us to join forces. I am actively engaged now working to shut down the Columbia Generating Station. That's going to be a big thing that I'm going to be talking about. I believe that the entire Northwest is in grave risk. And so do people at the Oregon Physicians for Social Responsibility. No Nukes Northwest. There are a host of so-called anti-nukers. You know, this is the thing. I have an issue with being called an anti-nuke activist. I don't consider myself an activist. I consider myself a human being and an American. I feel like it's my duty. Now that I know about Fukushima, now that I know how corrupt the nuclear cartel is, now that I know how it really works, and I honestly, believe you me, I don't really understand how it all really works, because just dig into the Columbia Generating Station. They have made this, I mean, this is devious. The way they deviously created a system around these nuclear power plants to make it almost impossible to shut them down, even if the people in the area don't want it. It is really a stunning fact. And the lies that are perpetrated, you know, what's that guy, Moniz, the Secretary of Energy, Moniz, I forget his first name. He basically, I saw a little White House put out a little White House video. Hold on, here's a caller in here, and let me see if I can add this call on. So hold on. See if that works. Good morning, UCY Radio. This is Lonnie Clark on the Age of Vision. Hello?
Hello.
Hi, you've called the UCY Radio Age of Vision radio show. Who am I speaking with?
My name is Eric Oppenheim.
Hi, Eric. Thank you for calling, and I want to thank you. Thank you so much. I'm actually really grateful that you called. So, I when you were the first person who made a comment on my radio show the very first day. And I actually took that to heart, and I really appreciate your feedback.
Yeah, I just wanted to call in, and because no one else was calling in here.
Well, I don't know how many people listen, so I appreciate you calling. What is it you'd like to discuss? What is it that is prompting your call?
I'm just letting you know that there are people out here listening.
What part of the state do you live in, Eric, if you don't mind me asking?
I couldn't hear that.
Where are you? What part of the world are you in?
I live in Brooklyn, New York.
Okay, so...
I've been here about 25 years or so.
Wow.
I'm from Idaho.
Wow.
And I've lived in Olympia, Washington State.
Wow.
So I'm familiar with the Hanford and all that.
And the
now I am.
This is really a really nasty little thing. I mean, in your neck of the woods, I think the nuclear power plant that I think in the top of my head that I think is probably the worst is that one right outside of New York. What's it called? It escapes me.
Indian Point.
Yeah. From what it's leaking. From what I've read, it's a continual slow leak into the water supply of New York City. Have you read that?
Absolutely. The tritium leaks every day. They tell us that it's fine for it. And there's public service announcements. When you go into the grocery store and you're fed this music, and they will tell you how the Indian Point is necessary.
Will they really?
Vital. It's quite disgusting to hear it.
You mean they will? They actually have like little so-called advertisements, government propaganda that basically trying to convince people that Indian Point is bringing energy to the New York area.
Absolutely, and it's vital.
Wow. I mean, are you as dumbfounded as I am at the complete complicity? I have to say, I am dumbfounded that the people in charge of making decisions are willing to just ignore scientific fact. I mean, this is one of the first things I did when I first found out about Fukushima and the catastrophic effects of radiation when I started looking into it. I went onto the Google Maps and I printed out a map of the cancer clusters. You can actually go to Google Map and print out cancer clusters. And then you...
Uh-huh.
On Google Images, and then I printed out a map of the nuclear power plants, because when I found out, I have lived on the West Coast most of my entire life, and I frankly, it was not ever a thought in my mind. I did not know that we had almost 100 nuclear reactors in our country. I had no concept about the nuclear energy industry at all. And one of the things I did was I overlaid the cancer clusters on top of the reactor, where the reactors are. And, you know, that's kind of a basic science thing. I'm not a scientist in any way, but the scientists have to know the facts. People that work in this industry can't just keep continuing to lie to themselves. And I'm just blown away by their denial.
I think we have known since the 50s. We've known for a long time. And what I really think is that Russia and America, we've already had World War III. We started bombing our own citizens, they did, by testing all these nuclear weapons in our own countries, on their own people.
I agree.
So there was no need for a bomb. We've already had the bombs. We've already had 2,300 tests or something.
Right.
We have more than just three dirty spots. There's more than just Chernobyl, Fukushima, and Three Mile Island.
Yeah, and
all over the place.
Hanford is one of the biggest dead zones there is. Even a place like off of, I think it's in Illinois, Zion nuclear power plant is closed down, right? I have a client that lives out there whose two children, one of their children has like a disorder, a brain disorder, and they're managing it. The child's going to grow up normally, but he's struggling as a little kid to be able to focus and have, you know, he has to be medicated. I mean, we are really literally their science experiments. And it is really unconscionable that A, we're just lying down and taking it. And what, like us, the few of us that actually are paying attention, if we say anything, we're considered extreme. My own children told me that they think I'm extreme.
Yes, it is really painful
for people to wake up. But, you know, I don't know how you feel, but I have a very strong feeling that we are not going to pass through September without some catastrophic event happening. And I don't know, you know, I think that we are amping up the drumbeats of war, and they're about to start, you know, having an excuse as to why we have all this radiation on the planet. Because Fukushima is really, I mean, we're almost inured to it. We're almost like, you go to ENE News, you read the articles that says, you know, 3 trillion becquerels coming from Fukushima. Like, really? 3 trillion? To me, when they use those numbers like that, I think they just don't have any clue. Like, how do they measure trillions? And what's the number after trillions? Because in the age of fission, as we all know, it's going to expand. The radiation is going to expand. It's going to get bigger and bigger. So we're having more and more radiation. It's not like it's going away, folks.
And we do not know what those numbers mean. We've been told those numbers ever since it happened. We watch it explode. We see these numbers. Then we find out they're based on models and more, and then they tell us whatever, 300 tons or whatever. Just their terminology, it's confusing.
Well, it's even...
Why use tons for water?
Right.
You know, we know gallons in America.
Right.
We don't understand tons, so, you know, that was a long time ago.
And most of the world uses meters. But, you know, that even the radio, you bring up a really good point, because in this book that I read, Population Control Through Nuclear Pollution, I read it on my YouTube channel. That's for mm-hmm. our little tiny bits, right? Well, and one of the mm-hmm. chapters, John Goffman talked about how they came up with that 10,001 model. It was really, that stuck in my head more than anything else. They actually, the reason that they came, you know, they before Obama changed the radiation limits, they would warn us when they figured the radiation was so bad, 1 in 10,000 would get exposed to a high level of radiation. The way they came up with it is John Goffman and Arthur Tamplin wanted to test 100,000 people. The government said, no, that's too many people. That's going to take too long. We can't study 100,000. They said, we want you to study 10. They said, well, we can't just study 10. They said, well, study 10, and we'll make the assumption on based on 1,000. And then when they studied 10 and compared it to a study of 1,000, they said, well, if 1 in 1,000 would get brain cancer, we can make the assumption that it's 1 in 10,000. They really did not study it. It is actually a stunning state of affairs to recognize they are not studying the negative effects of radiation on the human body in any serious manner.
Why would they point that out to us? You know, he pointed out, Dr. Gilmedi.
Look.
Remember when WHIP happened and then Dana Dumpert?
Oh, yeah.
Pointed out Dr. Gilmedi.
Isn't Dr. Gilmedi
yeah.
the guy who tests all the beagles? He's the one who keeps testing beagles over and over and over again.
Right, with small amounts of plutonium or americium or something, and every time. Now, why don't we believe him?
Right. Well,
you know, he's given us real numbers.
Well, you know what's interesting about Dr. Gilmedi is he keeps testing in an effort to prove hormesis. That's why he's testing. He wants to show that it's just not
right.
so bad. That's why he keeps getting funding, because instead of drawing the conclusion like Goffman and Tamplin did, that radiation is really not to be used on a widespread effort, he basically keeps going. He gets money because he keeps saying, well, we're going to prove that hormesis will work. So they keep giving him money because he's working to give them the answer they want to hear.
And we already have those answers, and we see it on the Simpsons. They've been giving that to us for years, and we are waiting for the glow in the dark. That will never, ever happen.
Yeah.
We're not going to glow in the dark. That's,
no.
You wait for that, that's ridiculous.
No, and you know what, Eric? It's really interesting because one of the things that happens with people with humans, and we're probably seeing it in the ocean, and because it's not being tested, it's not just the deaths and the cancers, it's the sterility. These creatures are not going, we are not going to be able to reproduce. We're going to create a planet with very few creatures living on it, and it is going to take a long time for us to come back against. This is a crime against our entire planet, and we're, you know, this is why I'm actually really working, this is why I do this. This, ever since I found out, like, what a catastrophic event this is, and really, hats off to the Nazis, man. They really have convinced Americans that it's not that bad, because I spoke to a woman who, my science teacher at school, her dad worked at Hanford most of her life, and he retired when he was 60 years old. He got an early retirement. Died of cancer 2 years later, and she, to this day, does not believe it came from his exposure to Hanford. I'm like, are you, you've got to be joking. Like, that, how can you, that, the way that it works, this is one of the things, and I haven't been able to wrangle Shane Russell to being able to get a radio interview yet, because he works, and he's just got an incredibly busy schedule, but he explained to me that this is how the radiation works inside our bodies. The rate of decay is only, it only breaks down so often, so it doesn't actually, kind of the isotopes go into our body, attach themselves to us, but they sit there dormant, and at the rate of decay, that's when they explode inside of our bodies. That's why it takes 15 to 20 years for something to actually cause us cancer, because it's just sitting there waiting to explode, and then once that time frame passes, the isotope will actually, you know, have the state of fission. It'll actually explode and decay inside of our body. And when it decays inside of our body, that's when it causes damage and harm. So this is where the nuclear industry has really, like, they think they found the golden goose, because they can blame. What's ironic is not only can they blame other industries, but they have put full force behind, as we've heard with Jules' show, the pharmaceutical industry is using us like lab rats. And so it's plausible deniability. Is it caused by the pharmaceutical industry? Is it caused by the GMO industry? Is it caused by the nuclear industry? The effects of the detriment to our DNA in many of the cases is identical. In that it causes genetic harm and it causes sterility. So
absolutely, and you cannot prove where you got it. You can't prove that you ate a Hershey bar because that's next to Three Mile Island, not the dairy, and then you eat a Hershey bar, and you cannot prove it.
Exactly right. Well, like I said, somebody in Pennsylvania has two autistic grandchildren, right? They live very near three nuclear power plants. And honestly, when I said, you know, it's probably because you live next to a nuclear power plant, she's like, no, that's not what caused it. It's probably the GM.
They say it's lifestyle. So how do you explain that a two-year-old or a seven-year-old, that's the lifestyle?
Well,
they got leukemia because of their lifestyle. What, they're a smoker, drinker, they do drugs.
Right.
And you're seven,
well,
you're three.
Because their parents are, what they're telling the parents in Fukushima is that the parents are causing the cancer for the kids because they're so worried. I mean, really, they're literally telling them, yes, stressing their kids out. So it's the parents' responsibility. I mean, what I'm curious about is when this really comes to a head, because we haven't even seen the beginning of it. We're at the very tip of the collapse. We mean, they have refused to put any real science and think outside the box to how they stop Fukushima or even any of the nuclear power plants. As you say, you know, where you live, there, it's a slow leak of tritium. Like, as if
we all
accept tritium in our life now.
They tell us it's not harmful.
Right, it's not harmful.
It's radioactive hydrogen.
Are they really telling you that tritium is not harmful to you over there in New York? Do they really have the nerve to say that?
That's what they say, absolutely.
That is so outrageous. Okay, so now I'm going to put that on my list of things to research, because that, you know, the only way we can combat these lies is to do our own research and find out information and bring, although, you know what happens when we bring the facts to people? It's like the shock doctrine. Naomi Klein talks about it perfectly. People have been conditioned, like my friend Jenny, who said, Lonnie, I get it, but if I really thought our government was doing this to us, I'd have a nervous breakdown. I'm like, well, then you better be prepared, because they're definitely doing it to us. And I don't believe that humans and our, I don't believe that we're that weak. I think that more people are stronger than what we really believe. Like, I'm the eternal optimist. I really think that we have the capacity to overcome this challenge, but we need to accept that we're in it, and it has been our complicity and our denial that's allowed it to get out of hand. But I think that we really do need to face it and have these open discussions. This is why, like, UCY Radio to me is one of the best, since I found it, it's just been really astounding. I was listening to the geoengineering show before Kevin got on the Post Ignorance Project, you know, when he got offered his radio show. I was listening to the geoengineering, and that is super fascinating. All of these things, all these hosts on this radio station have these ideas and things, and we're bringing information, but the issue is, how do we activate the masses? How do we get people to actually start working on the systems that are working, that are intentionally set up to oppress us? You know, I mean, I've had people say, well, you know, it doesn't really work to contact your elected officials. I disagree, mostly because if we can activate our neighbors, for example, like my neighbors in my neighborhood, to not just go to the polls and vote for Ron Wyden once again, who, in my view, Ron Wyden is completely sold out. He's considered a liberal senator, but he's, in my view, not at all liberal. He's the person who actually put Fukushima under the Patriot Act. I mean, I called his office. They said, well, we had to get it classified as, and, you know, we can't talk to you about it because it's now classified information under the Patriot Act as a national security issue. So they can't
talk. And didn't he go over there and he was all worried, and then he came back and shut his mouth?
Well, you know, that talks to what? The collusion and the coercion. I mean, I've met Ron Wyden in town here. I've gone to many of his, you know, he comes here to talk to people. And he's not a horrible, although I will say, if you look at his face and his expression, the last 10 years have taken a horrible toll on him. You can tell he is hiding something. He looks like a person who is guilty instead of a person who's proud to be a senator. And there's many senators that are like that now. I mean, you know, one of the things that happened in our country after 9/11 was we lost Tom Daschle, and the senator from New Hampshire, what's his name, Leahy, he just took a back seat and started to say Sig Heil and clicked his heels after they got that anthrax, which I believe came from somebody inside the government to threaten them to keep their trap shut. So, you know, we have a government that has been colluded and coerced. And this is how fascism really functions. And, I mean, I think it's our obligation to talk about it clearly and unequivocally. And the only thing that we have is our voice. I mean, our elections, the elections are stolen pretty much. You know what I mean? Like, we have stolen elections. The media has been sold out, and so what we have is our voice. And I feel like they need to just deny us. Like, I have to say, my heart is out to the Japanese people. They have taken to the streets. Before that Sendai plant got reopened, this article that I read said they counted at least 100,000 people in the streets. 100,000 people came out into the streets to protest it, and they still opened it up. 4 days later, there's a huge, gigantic explosion at a volcano there. And yet, have you noticed, Eric, that we have not heard a word about what happened? Nothing. We have heard nothing about it. So.
Yeah, we'll wait forever.
Yeah. Well, I am.
I actually have a nephew, and he's in the Marine Corps, and he's stationed in the southeast there. Japan. And he's right there where the volcano went off and all these things, and they don't, he knew nothing, none of it. And he's very close. So,
and they didn't tell him any.
No.
So this is interesting. You talk about the service. So maybe you can give me some feedback on this one. I have a young man that works in my office that works for me 15 hours a week. And he came into work this Monday and told me he's thinking about joining the military. You know why? So that he can go to school for free.
Mm-hmm.
I'll be honest. My response, and I thought about talking about this morning, so I think I'll just share this with you. I don't want to pay him one more dime. I'm really angry about the fact that he wants to join the war machine just so he can get a free college education. I know there's people out there who think that being in the military is honorable, but I don't believe it is right now because we are part of the war machine, and we are the war machine on the planet. We're the bully in the room, and I'm just kind of dumbfounded about it all. Like, I didn't fire him. I wanted to. I mean, honestly, I think it's up to us to decide. We are not going to be part of the military. We are not going to be part of the war machine. We have to make a conscious effort, like, to not work for the nuclear industry, not work for the war machine. I mean, when we look at all the NSA spying and those big buildings being put up in Utah right now and, you know, the big brain center, how many people work there, really, honestly, who are angry at the government for spying? Lots of them. So it's really about us deciding that we're going to walk with integrity and do what we believe to do and be willing to figure out a different way to earn a living. That's what I think. I mean, I don't know. This is where we get into the collusion and the coercion of how easy it is to be colluded. This is why I'm not too angry at, you know, like, I don't know how you feel, but like when people say that they're working at a nuclear power plant or working for a pharmaceutical industry, I find that quite offensive. I think people need to have more integrity than that.
And if you work there, you defend it. And there's, what, 2 million employees for the nuclear, and there's, you know, all the people who work for Pratt, all the things. If you work there, you defend it, because that's your life.
It's your bread and butter. Of course you defend it. It's like that, my teacher at school, her dad worked for the nuclear industry all of her life, and she's like, no, my dad was perfectly healthy. He just happened to die 2 years. He got cancer. It's just, it happens to everybody. No, when I said we're cancer, doesn't happen to everybody. You know, this is one of the things that Linus Pauling talked about in his early studies, and I don't have it handy, but I pulled it up for my science class. Linus Pauling wrote about this in one of his journal report in the late 50s about how modern science is working to extend the lives of humanity and how we're getting people to where we can live past the age of 45 or 50 in relative health. Except that we're entering into an age where we are destroying the very systems that allow those people to live well. And, you know, this is why he had a Nobel Peace Prize for his work about the nuclear industry. And he basically said, nuclear is a really great technology, but we ought not to use it on a widespread scale. We need to understand it before we put it into action. That was not the answer the military wanted. So, you know, him and Goffman and Tamplin pretty much got drummed out of the industry and ridiculed. But really seriously, you know, we now have a society where people can live in an older age, but you're dependent upon pharmaceuticals. You're plugged into this system. People believe they are. And this is why I believe they're going after the natural health industry, because they don't want people to learn how to be healthy and well. No money. You know, that's a big issue, is how do you stay well without paying somebody a boatload of money? And we are all, like I said earlier, lab rats. I think that we're all...
Well, why would I sell you something that would get you well versus sell you something that you have to take every week for the rest of your life?
You know,
I understand that,
except that there's the Hippocratic Oath to really help people get healthy and well and stay well, right? Like, it's that whole idea that if we don't sell these people these products, then how are we going to make money? And which is really a very short-sighted, greedy little thing, because if you allow people health and well-being, then we can focus our energy on creating products that people can actually buy. If, you know, one of the things that Roosevelt discovered, you know, World War II, after when he started the New Deal, is that if you feed the poor, you take care of the super poor, we create this middle class that buys products. This is why we had such a thriving middle class in the, you know, right after World War II, because everybody was getting a hand up. Everybody were like, we had these programs. Our soldiers were able to buy houses and go to school for free. An educated populace creates a thriving economy. And, you know, since Reagan, it's just been slitting the throats of every single Americans ever since, really, since they took over. It's been really an outrage.
Well, I think that's why Henry Ford paid a wage to his workers so they could buy
right.
a truck, a car, or whatever also.
I mean, this is the thing I don't get about the nuclear industry right now. If we shut down every single nuclear power plant on the planet, many of those workers would still... I read this last night that the to shut down a nuclear power plant, each nuclear power plant costs about $1 billion to shut it down. While a nuclear power plant is licensed for 20 years and now they're extending it to 40, it takes at least 40 to 50 years to shut it down. So we've got 100 years of production. Just even if we close down every nuclear power plant, the population that would be working at the nuclear power plant is just about the same. And it, you know, so there's no real loss of industry. And the industries that will spur out of that, if we use real science, like right now, we have a scientific urgency to figure out how to stop the fission. We're living in the age of fission because no one's trying to figure out how to stop it. They're not figuring out how to plug the holes in Fukushima. They're spending money denying it and trying to spin it. They're spending billions of dollars trying to spin it. That article this morning from Japan was so offensive. They're talking about the doctors in Japan are saying there's an over-reporting of thyroid cancer among the children in Fukushima, and they're trying to figure out why there's an over-reporting of thyroid cancer. Instead of saying, hey, we're getting thyroid cancer because a Fukushima nuclear power plant blew up on us, they're trying to deny that these children are dying of cancer, and they're blaming the parents. I mean, the insanity, the backwardsness. It's almost like humanity made these really great progressive steps forward, and then all of a sudden we're just deciding to go backwards. It's what I call the Caligula effect. You know what I mean? Like, everybody gets to act like Caligula and pretend that slaughtering children is normal. It's so outrageous. This is what draws me to, this is why I accepted this radio show, why I decided, okay, I'm going to make this commitment to 3 days a week, because I think it needs to be talked about. And one of my big efforts is to give people courage, the courage to stand up. We have lost our courage and lost our integrity. We really need to find our integrity. And, you know, none of us are perfect. And when we're on the wrong road, all we have to do is admit it and make an effort to go towards the right road. All of us make missteps. It's not, nobody is perfect on this path, but each of us needs to hold each other's hands, help edify each other, and then we can find our way out of it. Because believe you me, I really genuinely believe that there are some scientific brains, numbers people, who can think scientifically and understand all this science, who can figure out how to meld all these different concepts. Intuitively, I believe that Fukushima is going to be cured through sound healing or maybe through mushrooms, because mushrooms have their own brain of their own, and they can digest and create things in a way that we don't understand. There's science out there that we don't comprehend. Our scientists have the hubris to think that we understand a lot of things, and the real scientists really comprehend that we understand very little and that there's a lot to understand. And I think if we really face it with courage and honesty, that humanity can survive, and we will get through this.
Yeah, I'd just like to bring up John Trudell and coherent thinking, and that's what he's trying to stress, and it's void of emotion.
John Trudell.
No, John Trudell.
T-R-U-D. Did he write a book?
He's been an activist forever. He's very interesting. and everyone's going to say he's crazy. But if you listen to him, he's very interesting. And one thing he points out is don't worry about what they are going to do. We know what they are going to do. We know they're going to lie and lie and lie. We know that, and it's about what we are going to do.
That's exactly right. It is about what we are going to do, because we know what they're going to do. They've already shown us what they do. And all,
right.
And the they out there, ironically enough, the they out them is almost like us. That's the interesting thing. Like, they're not that, they are, I mean, Kevin talks about this, the government is us. We're a reflection. We're all connected. And so what we have to, I think that's why it's important for us to think about what we are going to do. Because when we change our minds, they change their minds. Our energy, our thoughts are things. And what we think about, there's an old phrase in sales, you're not what you think about, but what you think you are. So it's very important not to ruminate on the negative, but to ruminate on the possibilities of the future and try to figure out what we can do to manifest a better outcome. John Trudell, well, I'm going to look into him. I actually just Googled him. He's got a huge, it's johntrudell.com, T-R-U-D-E-L-L.com, right? He's got music and he's got a website. There actually was a Google page about him saying what he's an activist about it.
Absolutely. He's very interesting. And there's a lot on him. He's an example of someone that's been fighting for a while.
Yeah, that's,
you know, these people, you see them young and then you see them old.
Yeah.
Jack Herr, you see him young, you know, or 40, and then you see him when he's 60. He had a stroke, unfortunately. But it's interesting to see these people. When it first blew up, I was convinced, Fukushima, when it first blew up, I was convinced that we're going to shut down nuclear power, we're going to have 320 million people rise up. And then slowly, you know, Ratchik has to point out that, you know, that it's going to take the one right next to us to blow up.
Yes.
And we'll still deny it.
I think so. That's
who deny it now, we'll still deny it.
You know what? That's my anxiety about the Columbia Generating Station. I mean, check this out. The Oregon Physicians for Social Responsibility hired a geologist and discovered two things about that. Columbia Generating Station is sitting on top of a very active earthquake fault. They predicted a 9.0 or greater earthquake, which happens every 600 or 700 years, and we're past due. So they're saying it could be any time, and it will be any time. Now, if that happens, the entire breadbasket for the United States is going to go to shit. And so our elected officials are telling us, the people who are in charge of shutting this down are saying, well, we don't want to harm the economy, and we need the millions of dollars that comes into Washington State. I mean, the backwards thinking on this is just beyond comprehension. It's astounding.
And they're leaking out. They've been leaking those open trenches, all that yellow, all that stuff, you know. It's leaking every day.
Oh, yeah. Well, actually, this is why the Columbia Generating Station is so urgent. It is 15 miles, 1-5, away from the Hanford nuclear dump site, which needs to be maintained 24 hours a day in order for it to not overheat. So they have been, basically, if there is any type of a meltdown at CGS, they can't get into Hanford, and Hanford will get out of control. So we're not just dealing with a nuclear power site. We're talking about a nuclear dump site, a hand's throw away, 15 miles away, that could make it probably far worse than Fukushima if it ever has any kind of a negative thing happen. And we know that it is going to have something. This was the other thing. This was really astounding. The licensees knew it was sitting on top of an earthquake fault and neglected to put it into their application when they applied. And the government found out about that and has done nothing. So we really are in the belly of the monster. And I see that we have 5 minutes left on the show, Eric. But I really appreciate your time. And thank you for calling in. And I really want to thank you for your comments on my very first radio show, when I got on the air, I was really angry, and I started, like, ranting, and you made a comment on the radio show on the video feed, like, really, don't yell at the people, we're following you, and I really took that to heart, and it really kind of made me think, you know what, he's right, there's no point to start ranting and raving, because what I really want to do with the Age of Vision radio show is make this something that we can all hang on to as a point of activism, and empowerment. I want us to be empowered and understand what radiation does to us. I want to share information on how to help keep us healthy. And I want to talk to people like you who are activists. Like, I'm really grateful that you bring up John Trudell. I've never really heard of him. And part of that is I've just been in America just the standard status quo person who, frankly, a year and a half after Fukushima, found out that it was still out of control.
So, well, let me just say this. Thank you. Thank you for this. You know, all the people that listen to you are on your side. You know, we're on the same side.
True. You know?
And I admire your energy. You have a lot of energy. You're brave. And you're appreciated.
Well, thank you. Thank you so much, Eric. I really appreciate it. And, you know, hopefully you can call in again. And I really, I am going to explore more about this guy, John Trudell, and bring more of his information to this show, because as I'm looking at the page on the Googles, he does look like a man of spirit for all of us to maybe rally around. And we need to let the good activists not be drowned out in the overwhelming drumfold of, you know, who's what and where on out in the media. We have lots of voices, and we need to bring them up. So maybe I'll reach out to him and ask him if he'd be willing to be interviewed. See what happens.
That'd be awesome.
Okay, well, look, I'm going to let you go. We have about 3 minutes left on the radio show. I really appreciate your phone call today. Thank you for calling.
Thank you, Lonnie.
Uh-huh.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. So here we are again at UCY Radio. It's 8:57. Thank you, Eric, for calling in. I really appreciate it. It's really good to dialogue with the listeners of this radio show and of UCY Radio. They have really great ideas. And this is really the point of it, for us to come together and bring our ideas out so that we can actually be effective as citizens of the world. And as Mimi German reminded me, we're not so much Americans anymore. I mean, the powers that be have sort of erased all of our boundaries, because we're talking about saving the planet. The crimes against humanity that are being perpetrated by the nuclear industry, by the brainwashing, I call it the brainwashing industry in my own little head. They just drum us, pound us full every single day and make us believe that something's not quite right with us because we're admitting the facts. And I refuse to give in to that idea. So, look, on Monday I will be bringing you the nuclear alerts that have happened. There was a nuclear alert out at the Columbia Generating Station this last week. I want to remind people to put your comments in at the nrc.gov. That has been extended, I think it was, till November 19th, I think. And if you're on the West Coast, please get engaged in going to nonukes.org, and we can find out information on how to shut down the Columbia Generating Station as quickly as possible. If you're on the East Coast, get actively engaged and put pressure on to end all things nuclear. We do not need nuclear power. They only lead to nuclear war. So thank you, guys. We'll see you guys on...